Hello, Craig. Hello.
It's episode 60. We're after dark right now.
Hell yeah, we're super after dark.
I love a good after dark episode. I know it's great. We're really burning the 10 p.m. oil here. Episode 60 of TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. Just Ryan. Ryan's here.
Hello.
What do you got on tonight, Ryan? What are you watching?
I got that championship game, USC Pac-12 game going.
Okay. Got anything on it?
Not really. It's just it's a championship game, and I wanted to see that Williams quarterback guy play.
Yeah. But
he's like kind of hurt a little bit, and USC's actually losing right now. They're down 24-17.
Okay.
But I guess Utah is like the number one scoring team in the second half in the entire nation.
Wow.
So that may be why they just went up. It was 17-3 USC. Looked like they were going to blow it out.
Isn't Caleb Williams the guy that everyone says is like Kyler Murray if Kyler Murray was normal human sized?
A little bit, yeah. He kind of same type of play, yeah.
See, like with the amount of like draft research we did in the offseason, people don't necessarily know this, but like I don't watch a lot of college football, especially during the season. Like I'm too focused on the NFL.
Sure.
I can't put even a quarter as much focus, so I wait until the NFL season's over, and then I shift to who's coming out in the draft. So I have heard good things about that kid from USC, though. Sounds like he's going to be like a future number one pick.
Yeah, I don't know if number one, but
you never know, man.
He's going to get drafted, that's for sure.
There you go. All right, so number 60, Ryan, you have a Hall of Famer. Right?
Yes.
So I don't. So I'll go first this week.
Okay.
And we'll close with the Hall of Famer, you know? So I'll try to start us off and lead us off properly. All right. So number 60. My number 60 is a dude that wasn't super accomplished on the field, but it's still kind of a funny story. So we're going to talk about a guy named Brad Benson.
Excellent. Any relation to Doug Benson?
No, but you wouldn't be surprised if there was.
Okay.
All right. So, dude, like, maybe it's because I know where his life goes, but he's got the perfect name for what he does. So, let's get there. So, he was born in 1955, Altoona, Pennsylvania. Drafted in the eighth round of the 1977 draft out of Penn State. So, he's a lifelong Pennsylvania guy. He's drafted by New England and gets cut and plays his whole career for the New York Giants. He was the left tackle for the 86 team that won the Super Bowl and was on the Pro Bowl that year.
Nice.
He played for like 8 years. Wasn't like a huge, he was just a guy, you know? But it's what he did after he retired that I wanted to share with you. He became a bit of a local and national celebrity as the owner of the Brad Benson Auto Group.
Okay.
Okay, doesn't Brad Benson sound like the perfect car dealer name?
Yeah. I got it at Benson.
Right, okay. So, first off, I want to just say that you can find the Brad Benson Auto Group off Route 1 in Monmouth Junction, New Jersey, just in case you're looking for a new Hyundai.
Okay. Oh, they sell exclusively Hyundais, huh?
Also Mitsubishi.
Nice.
Yeah, I went really in depth with this dude that really doesn't have a lot going. So he became a viral star for some of his marketing. You can Google it and you can get a bunch of quotes, but I want to share with you some of his best bits because he's such a creative advertiser. All right.
Sure.
In 2010, a hardcore right-wing pastor said that he was going to burn 200 Qurans on 9/11.
Oh my God.
And he had to like protest, I don't know, something fucking Islamophobic, whatever. And our boy Brad Benson did a commercial, a radio spot, saying he'd give him a car not to. So then the pastor went to claim his car by not burning the Qurans. Benson was like, well, I meant it as a joke, but he asked his social media what he should do, and they said give the dude the car, so he gave the dude the car.
Hell yeah.
He did a commercial where he talked about Nancy Pelosi waterboarding people while also trying to sell you Hyundais. Hang on, it gets even better. He has a thing for photoshopping his face over animal faces in advertisements. He did one with, like, a bald eagle flying with an American flag with his face on it. he did one with, like, an Easter, like, a chicken coming out of an egg, but he put his face on the chicken's face.
Nice.
And there's another post on his Twitter that says, I'm not sure why my agent get me booked on Magic Mike XXL, but that's fine. I have my own movie coming out, and it's a picture of his face in a strip club, and it says Magic Benson over it. He said he was going celibate until his dealership became the number one Hyundai dealership.
The number one?
Yeah. And he was. He ended up becoming the number one. Like, he's a big deal because his marketing was like, everyone loved it. So I got one more small thing, and then I want to close with his most famous one. All right.
Okay.
His personal website doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's a dead link.
Okay.
And finally, I have a quote directly from his website. When Brad Benson does things, he does them big. So when he says you can come to his Hyundai dealership and see his 40-foot erection, he means it.
What?
Brad saved one of the Giants stadium goalposts from destruction and has it erected right in front of the New Jersey dealership. So whether you're a Giants fan or not, it's certainly a sight to behold.
That's hilarious.
So you can actually like go online and look up Brad Benson commercials. There's a ton of them.
Hell yeah.
And sometimes he seems like a weirdo Republican, and then other times he just seems like a fucking goofball. So he also did some weird motivational speaking, and yeah, that's my number 60, Brad Benson.
Hell yeah.
It's a good one.
Well, this next guy, as Tony said, is a Hall of Famer. In fact, his first year of eligibility to become part of the Hall of Fame, he made it.
Oh, he's a first ballot.
Played from 1949 to 1962. Made the Hall of Fame in 67. He was the first player selected in the 1949 NFL Draft.
Ooh.
His nickname, Concrete Charlie, Mr. Chuck Bednarik.
That's a fucking nickname. Concrete Charlie?
Dude, this guy's life read like a movie, all right? There's a lot about him, but I'll break it down to a few short things. He's considered one of the hardest tackles in NFL history. He has that famous hit on Gifford from the Giants game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he knocked some guy out of the game for 18 months because it was, I guess, and I looked up the video, and I sent it to you, right?
No.
I thought I sent you the video of that hit from whatever. I'll show it to you later. But yeah. It was gnarly.
Yeah.
It was gnarly for sure. This guy also played for the Eagles at center, but he also played at linebacker. He was what's considered known as a 60-minute man. Played both positions. And he only missed 3 games in those 12 or 13 years he played in the NFL. 3.
Oh my God. Did his body just combust?
Get this. So he mocks modern NFL players. Number one, because they only play. I mean, he died a little while ago, but when he was in his older years, he mocked NFL players and even mocked Deion Sanders, saying that even though he's a 60-minute man, he played on positions where he wouldn't get hurt because he played at wide receiver and cornerback. So he calls these modern NFL players pussyfoots. Because they suck after 5 plays and they couldn't even tackle my wife, Emma.
Oh my God. Concrete Charlie with the fucking.
Right. His number 60 is retired in the Eagles. One of 8 players in the history of the Eagles to have their number retired. After high school, so get this. This makes his life even more like movie-like. After high school, he went to the Air Force. And that was, as we all know, in World War II. So he was like 19. I think he was born in 1925. So he was like 19, 18 when he went into the Air Force. Not only did he join the Air Force, but he flew on 30 combat missions over Germany and was awarded the Air Medal, 4 Oak Leaf Clusters, and the European African Middle Eastern Campaign Medal and 4 Battle Stars.
Holy shit.
This guy was crazy. Yeah. And since he was from Pennsylvania, another Pennsylvania boy, Tony.
There we go.
He went to the University of Pennsylvania in Philly. Played all sorts of positions and just loved playing the game.
Is there's a chance that... So you said he flew over Germany?
It says he flew 30 combat missions over Germany.
So there's a chance that he was part of the bombing of Dresden.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, he's got all those medals. He was a part of something.
Which is, like, one of the biggest U.S. atrocities of war, like, ever.
Right.
Overshadowed because, you know, we nuked Japan.
Right. And, yeah. And we would all think that his name of Concrete Charlie would be because of the way he hit and how just an awesome player he was. And right. But no, it was actually because... when he was in high school, he worked for a concrete factory.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's crazy. He was the first analyst on Inside the NFL in 1978 when HBO started that.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Was this dude born with like dirt under his nails?
I saw a picture when I was looking at pictures. You can look it up after we're done. There's a picture of him smoking a cigar and a cigarette, one on one side and one on the other. It's a real picture. It's crazy. The guy just looks like a movie hero. It's crazy.
Dude, when we hit big in DFS, I'm gonna get that painting like printed out and framed, like a painting of that picture then. Of him smoking a cigar and a cigarette at the same time.
He has a famous quarrel with Chuck Knoll from the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
It says that as a player for the Cleveland Browns, Knoll smashed him in the face during a fourth down punting play. And a few years later, Bednarik punched Knoll in an on-field confrontation after the game in retaliation. The NFL commissioner at the time, Bert Bell, fined Bednarik $500 and ordered him to apologize to Knoll for the punch. According to Bednarik, when he gave the apology, Knoll simply said, "Bullshit." there's a lot more that you can read on this guy. Another player where it was never... I don't think his brain was ever studied for CTE, but he died of some type of dementia. But he lived to be really old. He right. died in, like, the aughts.
Okay.
So, like, he within the last 10, 15 years, I think.
Okay. That's...
But, yeah, that's Mr. Chuck Bednarik. Crazy, like, superhero life.
Okay, so you've told me all of these things, and... I'm going to be honest with you, man. All I can think about is he said, these guys couldn't tackle my wife.
And yeah, he called them pussyfoot.
How much of that is because he thinks that NFL players today are weak, and how much of it is because he thinks his wife is, like, fat? Because, like, a guy like that, he marries, like, a hearty Midwestern woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I think that's the Philly area.
Like, that's such a blue-collar thing. Like, you could see, like, a thick woman with, like, hair curlers and, like, a rolling pin. You know what I mean? Like, they're all wearing flannel. All right, so We're going to cut to ads, so we will be back soon.
Hello, American voters. As you may know from the constant spam texts and phone calls, the Georgia Senate runoff is quickly approaching. As you may also know, the DNC has raised enough money to give all railway workers the paid sick leave they... Wait. Shit, I'm sorry, wrong commercial. As part of the millions that the DNC has raised on behalf of incumbent Raphael Warnock, we have been given a very generous grant at the TH Fantasy Podcast Network to help create a new organization, the DGAHW, Degenerate Gamblers Against Herschel Walker, to help keep Democratic control of the Senate. We're here for two reasons. One, we believe in selling out to the highest bidder at all possible times. And two, Herschel Walker has let us, the American people, down far too often. Let's take a look at some examples, shall we? September 24th, 1989. Walker carries the ball 11 times for 33 yards and no scores. No catches either. That's 3.3 fantasy points. December 25th, 1989. Walker gives fantasy football managers a meager 4.3 full PPR points in a 29-21 shootout victory. Some Christmas indeed. How can we expect a man to lead the Senate if he can't even lead his own backfield in fantasy production? In 2001, he had his handgun confiscated by the Texas police, most likely because he never took Dallas or the fantasy teams that owned him to the playoffs. And that's fucked up. That's not the type of person I want legislating my rights. In November of 1986, when he was a young star, with the hopes and dreams of fantasy football players everywhere just trying to put food on the plates of their families, he delivered four straight fantasy performances of under 10 PPR points. Is this the man the Republican Party wants us to just accept? So please, on December 6th, do the right thing. Start Raphael Warnock in your DFS voting lineups. He'd never let Americans down like Herschel Walker has. This message has been brought to you by the Degenerate Gamblers Against Herschel Walker. Thank you.
And we're back.
We're back. We're back. All right. So we've decided to, Brian, we got to tighten up the ship a little bit here, man.
Yeah, we lost last week.
We lost bad last week. We weren't even fucking close last week.
No.
But, you know, I've done my research. You've done your research. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking this might be one of the first times in 2 years where you're going to tell me that you want to play Trevor Lawrence. And I'm going to say, that makes sense.
I know. I saw that on your sheet. And I was like right about to like, put Lawrence in, but then I saw you did. I was like, damn it, he took him.
Oh, well, so, no. Yeah,
I mean, I'm down to do a Lawrence stack, but what do you want it to be?
Here's what my research was saying. Lawrence is going to be one of the chalkiest plays on this on the slate.
Probably.
And I think... What's up?
He's going to be mid-tier. He's going to be more expensive than last week, but still be... kind of cheap to entice players to use him.
I think he's going to be chalky, but I think we can still get value if we pair him with Kirk, because everyone's going to be pairing him with Zay Jones this week.
Or you pair him with Goff.
Well, no, I mean like as his receiving stack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it seems obvious to go Lawrence and Kirk, but I think that's what we should do because, like... everyone's going to want Lawrence and Zay Jones to try to pay down to get one of the top tier guys.
Look, Kirk had a bad game last week. And of course it was on the week that I did my millionaire bet on him. But if you look at the stats, it's like something like 10 or 11 games out of the 12 they've played. He has 14 or more fantasy points, 14 or 15 more fantasy points. Yeah. So he just had a bad week.
And
this is like the matchup to smash too.
And yeah, and Detroit is especially terrible at guarding slot receivers.
This game right now, as the lines are like right now Friday night, this game is supposed to has the second highest over outside of the Chiefs game, I think. All right.
Yeah, I ran to get my notes. I had to pull something up because you mentioned about the game, right?
Yeah.
So
The Lions are favorites for the third time this season. That's it. This is the only time.
Yeah, yeah.
The other two times that they've been favorites, the games averaged 78 total points.
Hell yeah.
And
I'm guessing that was what, like the Detroit-Seattle game?
And the Detroit-Chicago game, I would think.
Okay, yeah, probably.
Or the Detroit-Houston game. That's also
yeah.
a thing. So Detroit games average 54.8 total points.
That's crazy. So,
yes. So let's do Lawrence and Kirk to start our stack.
And Lawrence is up in salaries. He's at 84. I don't think he's been above 8,000 yet this season.
No, I don't think so either.
Usually around 73 to 77. And Kirk's only 75 too, which is kind of a value. But the big question is, do you want to double down on this game? Or do you want to get a stack from this, the first highest scoring game of the week?
What do you think the first highest scoring game of the week is going to be?
Well, the way the overs are right now, I think it's the Kansas City game at 53.
Okay, here's my thing. My thing is that I think that that game is going to be the most popular game in DFS this week.
Okay.
To me, there's four games this week I'm interested in focusing on. So Kansas City, Cincinnati, Detroit, Jacksonville, Chargers and Raiders, and Philly and Tennessee. Those are the games that I think are going to be the highest scoring games.
So I'm thinking I want to go with the player who I think could end up being the quarterback one on the week with Justin Herbert.
Ooh, you think Herbert?
Yeah.
Is Allen's back, right?
Yep, and you can stack Herbert with Allen because Allen is also pretty cheap at 7,700.
Williams back?
Williams is out. Now, Ryan, there's a guy that we're both super in on because I saw your sheet earlier that I'm thinking in the flex would be a good play. So hear me out.
Yeah.
Lawrence, Kirk, Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, and at the flex, DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I like him this week.
I like him a lot this week. And I saw him on your list, too, and I was like, thank God.
Saw him on your best list.
That's one of my top five this week.
Listen to this. In the last three games against the Rams, these have been DK Metcalf's receiving lines. 5 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. 6 catches, 52 yards, no touchdowns. 5 catches, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
No Aaron Donald.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
All right, so I think that we need to... Who do you like at running back this week, Ryan?
Well, hold on. I'm looking at cheap tight ends really quick.
Okay.
See if we can pay down and have a bunch of money for our running backs.
That would be ideal.
Right.
See, David Njoku...
We could put Bellinger in and then pivot to, like, Gesicki or Ingram or even Pruitt. We all know Pitts ain't playing.
I would be down. I'll put Bellinger in for now, but I would like to pivot to Harrison Bryant if he's out.
You think he's got a rapport with Watson?
Well, I don't know, but the tight end is heavily featured in that offense, and Njoku's out this week.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's your running back you like this week, Ryan? Who's your guy? Do you want to overload?
I do like Jamal Williams because I'm still reeling with my millionaire bet, and it's a 2-touchdown bet, and it's going to be. I have it as that new guy from the Jets,
Zonovan Knight.
Yeah, Zonovan Knight. I have it as that, but I'm going to probably pivot to Jamal Williams. Okay. There's going to be a lot more chances to score, I think, in the game.
So. That's perfect because the running back that I want most this week is 7,400, so we can get both.
Sweet.
I would like us to get Aaron Jones.
Okay. Wasn't he hurt a little bit?
I think both. No, he doesn't have an injury designation. Neither him nor Dylan.
I think Aaron Jones Listen to this. Since 2019, in FanDuel scoring, this is how many points Aaron Jones has gotten against the Bears. 17, 9, 12, 4, 19, 20, and 29.
Sounds pretty good to me.
He's been a running back one multiple times this season. Like, not one overall, but like an RB.
So
that actually came together a lot more easier than I thought it would.
Aaron Jones. So listen to this. Aaron Jones has been in the top 10 four times. He's been in the top 5 three of those times. And two of those finishes were in the last 4 weeks. So he is so hot right now.
Hell yeah.
All right, Ryan, read us the DFS lineup.
All right. So we paired, let's see, we paired Herbert with Allen. We got Lawrence with Kirk. We got Jamal Williams. We got Jones. We got Bellinger. We got Metcalf. Should be, I don't know, who are we going to replace Bellinger with?
I think, if not Harrison, I'd say Harrison Bryant, Gesicki, or Ingram.
All right. We'll talk about it on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. All right, so that's that. Now, I feel pretty good about that. I'm feeling kind of confident putting that in a $5 single entry tournament.
Hell yeah.
So, Ryan, what do you think? I think it's time for you to tell me about your
mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
All right, so once again, it was a disappointing week for the tight ends of the week. But I got one, and he's back, baby. He's back from the fractured eye socket. We already talked about him, and he's in our tight end spot in the Superflex, Mr. Bellinger.
I love it, dude. I mean, about it. The Daniel Bellinger redemption tour.
It's a good story. Like, he's developing a really good rapport with Daniel Jones, and all of a sudden he gets his eye ripped out of his head.
Right.
And has to go to the hospital on a 14-yard catch too, nonetheless.
Yeah. You think he gets in the end zone?
Oh yeah. He's catching a touchdown for sure.
I love that.
Just follow up on a couple other guys. Remember we talked about Quitoriano?
We did.
He's the tight end with the most snaps on Houston now.
I know. It's crazy. Howard and Brevin Jordan are just ass.
Yeah. So he's due. Another guy who might catch a touchdown this week.
Okay.
Mr. Firkser.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Firks Master General.
Yeah. With, Pitts out.
That's interesting. They're playing Pittsburgh, right?
Atlanta, yeah.
Okay. I feel like there's... Okay, I've taken Pittsburgh in a bunch of spots.
I actually took Atlanta this week, but...
Did you? Yeah. One of my top 5 bets of the week this week is a Pittsburgh adjusted money line down to -2.5.
Really?
Atlanta fucking blows, man.
Yeah, but they're playing at home.
Hey, man, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
We'll see.
So,
okay, so we've got Anthony Firkser, we've got Teagan Quitoriano, and we've got the return.
Quitoriano is just kind of reporting back on. I wasn't really calling him this week, but I just wanted to mention that he is getting the most snaps out of any tight end on Houston's offense right now.
He's on the radar. Don't think about the fact that he's on the radar, but he's on the radar.
Yeah. Another guy who might score a touchdown, this will be my last guy, Noah Gray.
Ooh.
Yes.
I like that call a lot.
I think Mahomes and Andy Reid are going to get a little bit cute this weekend, do some bad, like, no good, like, does nobody good for a fantasy touchdowns, you know?
It's going to be like a Travis Kelce pass.
Yeah. To Jody Fortson.
I love that shit. Give me all the chaos, dude. Like, when people are like, who are you rooting for in the World Cup? I'm like, chaos. Like, I want Japan to just fuck everybody up.
But those are just some super shitty t- tight ends to consider playing in your DFS lineups for the week because they're super cheap.
Yeah, they're really fucking cheap. Dude, Jamal Agnew, 5,300 this week.
Oh, man. He caught a couple of passes last week.
Yeah, so I can really stretch my legs out here and pick a guy. And I'm going to go with my second of the season, my second L.A. Ram here. And I'm going to go with Ben Skowronek.
At nice.
5,100. All right. So,
look. I like him.
His numbers are being, like, taken down because they just had that dude play quarterback that I didn't even bother learning his name because I'm never going to see him again.
Who's playing this week?
It's Warford is coming back.
Oh, that's right.
And, like, sure, that dude sucks. But, like, he can play quarterback in the NFL a little bit. Not well, but he can do it. So I expect Skowronek to catch a couple balls. And they're playing Seattle, man. Seattle can't stop shit.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see what happens. I'm hoping a Ben Skowronek touchdown. Let's each get touchdowns this week and get off the schneid, so to speak.
Yeah, right. Need to get back on the pedestal.
But you know what? As long as the DFS stays cashing, we're still good. We don't got to worry about anything. Checks keep coming in.
That's true.
Yeah, and so I do want to say, before we go, that if the internet's telling me the truth with how many numbers we got, there's like people actually, so thank you, first off. Oh, yeah. Second off, we have an email. Like, email us. Add us on Twitter. We're at THFantasy on Twitter. We're at THFantasy on Gmail. Like,
send us some questions.
Weird shit. Yeah, send us questions. Ask us weird questions. It doesn't even have to be sports.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan, what's your favorite color?
Orange.
Perfect. See?
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but not everyone knows that because there's people from Australia that listen to this, Ryan. They don't know that.
That's true.
Now they do. And now they have no excuse. So when we go over there, they're going to know that your favorite color is orange. So, yeah, talk to us. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just a bunch of like Russian bots downloading us and not real. But if the numbers are real, like, fuck with us. Get at us. Like, tell us some shit. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah.
Like, to party? You ever hang out at 711 Lucinda Avenue in DeKalb, Illinois in like thousands? How do we know you? Do I owe you money? All right. So thanks. Talk to us. Be our friend on the internet, and we'll talk about sports together.
Hell yeah. I feel like this was a good episode.
Yeah. Get in, get out, say what you got to say, tell a story, don't leave the people hanging. Yeah, so let's call it a night here, man. So we'll see you next week for episode 61. We'll be in playoff pushes. Ryan will be going to the playoffs in his work league, and hopefully. I'll be within a game of playoff contention in our big money league, and we'll see you then. So, for all of us here at the TH Fantasy Podcast Network, good luck to your sports teams and your life on Sunday.
And most importantly, have a good Sunday. Yes.
It's most important. Get a nice spread of food. Sit on the couch. Don't talk to anyone for 8 hours.
Taking some football.
Yell at your TV. Yeah. Like, wear the same outfit you always wear because you think it gives you good luck. It doesn't. All right. Good luck, everyone. Yeah, get that tracksuit. See you guys.